Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
The godfather of IDP at IDP Sharks on the Twitter machine, Gary Davenport. Gary, we're getting closer and closer. We're going to be answering some NFC questions on this show today. But, I mean, we had the Hall of Fame game. So it's inching and inching and inching. Can you feel it? Is the pressure real now?
Honestly, it really starts to ramp up for me this next week once that first full week of preseason games gets in.
Yeah.
And I've got the Fantasy Football Expo this next week. So that to me is kind of the unofficial kickoff to when things get real, is when I go up to the Hall of Fame and do the Kings Classic drafts. And I'm doing the IDP panel at the Expo on Sunday. So
we took a week off here. Apologize to everyone for taking a week off. That was my fault.
I apologize for nothing.
Yeah. Gary apologizes for nothing at all, which he should. This was my fault. I had a buddy in town. I was trying to cram, 5 days worth of stuff, 6 days worth of stuff into 3 days. Just didn't work out. But we are back and we've got a ton of notes from camp. And if you guys have checked out our Patreon, inthisleague.com, we'll take you to the In This League Patreon. I have made a sheet with camp notes for the offense, the defense, the offensive line, all this stuff. But Gary, when I was making that, I was making mental notes of little things. I'm like, got to talk to Gary about that one. So let's burn through these notes real quick before we go ahead and get to these NFC questions. And the first one is Derwin James is doing the hold-in. We talked about Roquan doing this last week. I think we talked about it a little bit. It's not that concerning because most of the time these things are solved, right? I know Deontay Johnson got his money, but Jesse Bates, Derwin James, Roquan, I mean, some of these guys, there's not a lot of traction going on here, and at least not a lot from what we're hearing about them inching closer to a deal. What do you think about Derwin James holding in here?
No, I'm not concerned about it. I mean, we've still got over a month before the season starts, and it's not. And, I'm sure he's working off to the side. I'm sure he's in relatively good shape. It's not like he's just sitting there shoving Fritos into his mouth. So I'm not. I mean,
that's my training camp routine.
People were worried about Debo and worried about Deontay, and those guys got their money. And either these players will get their money or they'll finally cave in and report, because you don't, at some point the teams will be like, okay, we're going to start finding you. And once it gets real and it starts hitting them in the wallet, that's usually when they swallow their pride and show up.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. So, Derwin's going to get paid, I think. So it's, and, they asked Bosa because Bosa did the same bit last year and he got paid. So
I can understand the Chargers being a little reluctant to back up the
Breeze. He's missed games.
A lot. Better part of 2 seasons. So I can understand there being a little bit of reluctance, but I don't see, there's not going to be a contract for Jesse Bates.
Right.
He's going to have to show up at some point because the Bengals have made it abundantly clear they have no intention to re-sign.
Yeah, I mean, they drafted his replacement. The writing's on the wall.
They re-sign him if he was willing to take what they offered, but he's made it clear that he's not interested in that, and they're not interested in paying him more than that. So, but even then, I think Jesse Bates will be out there week one. I'm not worried about that.
So let's talk about a couple of these other things. I know this year you're definitely concerned about Jordan Poyer, hyperextending his elbow. He could be back for week one, but how far does that move him down your draft list?
You know, I didn't drop him yet.
Okay.
Because my understanding was week one, they were hoping. Now, if we get a week or two from now and they're talking about he could miss a game or two, then I'd drop him probably three or four spots. He's my number one DB.
Yeah. So you're the first person I thought of when I saw it, because I knew he was your number one.
We get a little bit farther, a little bit closer to the season, and it sounds like he might miss a game or two, then I'll drop him a few slots. But even then, he'll be fine. I mean, it wasn't something, so long as it didn't need surgery, that was my only concern. That would be bad.
A couple other news and notes, and then we'll do some quick hitters here. But I'll just burn through these top ones here. Defensive coordinator Mike McDaniel for the Ravens on Kyle Hamilton. We don't have to throw him into the fire per se. Don't like hearing that. Nakobe Dean so far in camp is a quote-unquote distant third to Kaiser White and TJ Edwards in terms of the Eagles linebacker spots. Vance Joseph says that Isaiah Simmons will line up all over the place yet again for the Cardinals, doing some safety, some linebacker, and some slot corner, which he did last year. Quay Walker is the clear-cut starter next to Devondre Campbell. It's not even really a competition anymore. But another rookie, Devin Lloyd, has seen Shaq Quarterman get more first-team reps than him, although right before we started recording this, about an hour or two, I did read a report that Devin Lloyd has been dealing with an undisclosed injury. Obviously, don't have to report on those in training camp, so something is going on there. But your concern for any of these, obviously, Hamilton is a guy I'm going to have to lower because I thought, hey, it was so bad last year. You go out, you spend a first-round pick on this guy, he's going to get in there. But we've seen him get, you know, he got torched by Trey Walker the other day. James Prochet has been making plays against everybody. So that's interesting. Start with that one and then work your way down this list. Any of them that you find concerning?
None of them really stun me. I mean, I could see being a little concerned about Hamilton, but if it takes him a little while, it takes him a little. That's not, and I didn't have him as high as you did, so I can understand where you'd be concerned. Nakobe Dean, I mean, I figured he was going to open camp as the third guy behind Kaiser White and TJ Edwards. You know, we haven't seen any of these guys actually get out on a field and play yet.
Right.
But I still think Nakobe Dean, talent's going to win out at some point.
Okay.
And I'm confident of that. And I think we'll see a similar thing. I mean, Shaq Quarterman's an okay linebacker, but Devin Lloyd's better.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Right.
So, and that's
me. I'm surprised Muma, you know, because I like Quarterman too.
Right.
I like him coming out of Miami, but Muma not getting ahead of Quarterman was also surprising to me.
It smacks me a little bit of, you know, we're going to make the rookie earn it.
Right.
We're not going to just throw him in there. So, again, let's get through a whole week of preseason games, get all 32 teams out there and scrubs hitting one another, and we'll get a little bit better idea of some of these pecking orders.
A couple other ones I'll burn through here. David Mayo has gotten more first-team reps than Jamin Davis. Don't like that. The Jets signed Quan Alexander, who looks like he's going to be starting next to Mosley. Kyle Duggar got some return reps for the Patriots, which is interesting. Robert Spillane has routinely outplayed Devin Bush in Steelers camp. Jalen Petrie, the rookie safety for the Texans, has already locked up a starting gig. Trayvon Walker looked pretty strong in the Hall of Fame game. The Broncos linebacker situation was the big mess we talked about last week. Looks like it's going to be Jewel and Griffith as the 1-2 punch there. Deion Jones is unlikely to be cut, according to the Falcons. And Kayvon Thibodeau has been, quote-unquote, terrorizing Giants offensive linemen so far in camp. Any thoughts on those notes from Cam?
I already dropped Alex Singleton a little bit in my rankings. because I thought he would earn a starting job in Denver, and he still might. Again, we've got a month to go.
Sure, sure, sure.
The Devin Bush news is a little concerning. Not surprising, but a little concerning. And the Jamin Davis, too. I mean, oh, my God, David Mayo is out there in front of you. That's not a good sign. That's a bad sign.
That is a real bad sign.
David Mayo is just a guy. So if you can't beat out a Jag, then you've got problems.
Ooh, okay. So more concern for Davis than any of these other guys here, which is interesting. And I agree with you. The rookies like looking good in camp. You know, some of that is the guys across from you are not that good. Some of that is, these guys are just in better physical shape early because they're younger than some of these vets. So sometimes the rookies get caught up with in camp. But I mean, you know, for Bush, and what I've heard is that is not about athleticism at all, because Bush is faster than Spillane. It's not a question. Like he's twitchier, he's faster, he's more athletic. That's not a question. He's just not in the right spot routinely. And Spillane is. And Spillane has really been making some plays. So
I wouldn't call Spillane just Bush. I think
he's better than a Jag.
Right. Yeah. He's a step up from a Jag. He's a capable linebacker.
You don't want him in coverage. But
that's the problem.
Right.
Kind of like Josie Jewell. Nice run stuffer. You get him out in space, you might have problems.
Honestly, I think for the Steelers, the best solution to this linebacker and safety issue would be to move Terrell Edmunds just to linebacker. I think he'd be better at linebacker than he is at safety because he's not good in coverage against wide receivers. But, you know, he's big enough to make some tackles. I put some weight on him moving to linebacker. But, you know,
I don't know how much weight he'd really even have to put. I mean, we're already seeing all kind of three safety looks.
His brother is the linebacker for the Bills, right? Like the body type is the same.
And,
so,
you know, with their smaller line, that's when everyone said N'Kobe Dean's too small. I'm like, do y'all pay attention to the NFL anymore? Inside linebackers don't weigh. Well, there are a few like Zaven Collins who are giant, but that's not the way the NFL is anymore. No, you want your linebacker.
5'10", 230 is like the minimum. You know, like that's you can play at that. Some guys are even down at 220. I don't want guys at 220 playing linebacker.
Hey, Talvin Smith was a really good NFL linebacker, and I don't think he weighed 220 pounds. He was like 215.
How much do you think LeVon Kirkland weighed? 270, 280?
Right.
And he'd be running down the field with tight ends. That guy was incredible. If he could have been in shape, he might have been one of the best linebackers of all time. Let's get into these NFC team previews. We start with Dallas. My question for Dallas is Micah Parsons going off the board at linebacker 6. He's obviously one of the most talented players in the league, but is this too high considering the way that Dallas uses him as a middle linebacker on the line? They kind of move him around a lot. So he's not just racking up tackles like we want to see for those, you know, traditional IDP leagues.
I think if you're in tackle-heavy scoring, which most quote-unquote traditional IDP, you're drafting him a lot closer to his ceiling than his floor there. I love the player, and I guess last year feels like that's just about the best we're going to see. I don't know that we're going to get 13 sacks. I think if the Cowboys, in a perfect world, he wouldn't have 13 sacks for Dallas this year. He'd spend more time inside. His tackle numbers would go up. Sack numbers come down a little bit, but still high, you know, like Devin White numbers, 8-9 sacks, which is excellent from an inside guy. I think they'd prefer having him inside, but there's so many questions for that team on the edge.
Yeah.
We're still going to see kind of the back and forth act, and that's going to make him a little bit more high variance. I don't know that I'd want to draft him that high. To me, he's a low-end LB1, and there's going to be ups and downs. And, you know, drafting players at their ceiling is usually not a good idea.
In terms of Trayvon Diggs, how much regression should we expect? He's obviously not going to get those 11 interceptions again. And I don't know if you saw this, but he has been so routinely torched in Cowboys camp that he deleted his social media. No longer on social media, because everyone's tagging him and him getting burned by CeeDee Lamb and all the guys. But it's also camp. Like, it should be eye-rolling.
He gave up more yards in coverage last year than any player in the NFL.
Yeah.
The most. So
part of that is because he does take those gambles on the football, right?
And I think he's going to regress significantly. I mean, if you cut those interceptions in half and say 5 or 6, that's a pretty good year for a cornerback, half a dozen interceptions. But it'll look like dog food compared to the 11 interceptions he had last year. Not a guy I would be looking to draft in IDP leagues, although at least the fact that he's really not that good in coverage, it helps.
You get tackles. But see, this is the problem with Diggs. When he's not good in coverage, they take it to the house. You know, it's not like he's not racking up tackles, too. So he's not like letting the guy catch it in front of him and then making that stop. He's getting burnt behind him.
And I mean, he was the number one defensive back overall in a lot of scoring systems last year. I think I've got him like fifth or sixth among quarters. I have several guys ahead of him, Kenny Moore, guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have too many corners ahead of him, but among defensive backs, I have him ranked 39, which is a full
That's
round.
Pretty close to where I have him.
Yeah, it's a full round lower than he's being taken just in defensive backs. So I'm obviously not very high on him. We like to talk about stashes in these episodes for your dynasty leagues, your deeper leagues. Sam Williams, you talked about the, you know, potential.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely a stash, right? Yeah, he's going off DL 138 in ECR right
that's
now.
That's a good, so. Great taxi squad guy.
Let's go to the Giants here. Does Blake Martinez go back to being an automatic LB1? Right now, he's LB11 in ECR.
That is exactly where I got him. And I did an industry draft this past weekend, a live one, 30 rounds. And I had the 10 spot. So I picked, you know, third pick of the sixth round, and then I got to wait all the way till 7-10. Big run on linebackers right in that spot. I'm sitting there with my pants around my ankles. And I'm like, please God, let Blake Martinez make it back. Please God, let Blake. I think he does go back to being a, if not top five, top six or seven guy. He had 140-plus tackles in four straight seasons and had over 90 solos in three of those years. I think he's undervalued. I think he's a great target. If you can get him as 10th or 11th linebacker off the board, that's a great target if you want to hit one of those elite defensive linemen and circle back and grab him.
What are your realistic expectations for Thibodeau this year? Like we said, really good in camp so far, has been terrorizing Andrew Thomas and all of the offensive linemen in New York. Do you think he can make a significant impact for IDP leagues? Right now he's going off at DL 58.
That's probably pretty close to where I'd have him ranked. I have a hard time projecting any rookie for more than 7 or 8 sacks. I mean, if he get decent tackle numbers and add 7 or 8 sacks, that should be looked at as a successful season. Because rookies just don't, Micah Parsons type seasons don't come along all that often. It takes pass rush. Now he's having success against the Giants offensive line, but the Giants offensive line sucks. So at some point he's going to have to play a good offensive lineman, and that's going to be harder.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt balls.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right about the Giants offensive line has been,
it's poo.
You know, it's less poo. Less than ideal, I guess we should say, maybe.
It's poo. It's
not good.
Poo.
Yeah, it's not solid. So hopefully they'll get better, but he has been good. Any other stashes on this team? I kind of like Beavers. He has gotten Darian Beavers, a linebacker out of Oregon State. He's gotten a couple snaps with the first team already. We know Tay Crowder is kind of jag-ish,
Outside Blake Martinez, it's not like they have a ton of talent at that inside linebacker spot. So, yeah, there's a window of opportunity for a guy. If he turns out, like you said, Tay Crowder, that's a David Mayo, just with a different name.
It's the same. They're all David Mayos. They're all all John Boston.
David Crowder, right. Tay Mayo, right. Whatever.
Let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles. Linebacker Dean is coming in at linebacker 63 right now. Hearing this, camp fodder that he's a distant third behind the top two guys, are you still willing to invest in him in
at
a bigger
linebacker 63? Hell yeah. Why not? I've got him in the 30s, and I just dropped him a few spots. I still Tyzer White's decent. He's not a Jag. He's a couple. He might be a step above a guy like Spillane. Tyzer White's had quite a bit of injury trouble. TJ Edwards is right there with Spillane. He's not just a guy, but he's not much better than just a guy, and his range isn't great. I'm still a big believer in N'Kobe Dean as a football player, and he's going to start for the Eagles at some point this season, and once he gets into the starting lineup, he ain't coming back out. And at LB 63, I mean, what are you out? Nothing. It's a dart.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think you're not out a lot. I don't know. I'm not really interested. I feel like there's going to be a N'Kobe Dean dot guy in most leagues that's going to take him too high, and it won't be me. That's all. The secondary looks like it's going to be a heavy rotation. Harris is DB51. Bradbury's DB84. Slay is in the 80s. Maddox and Epps are way in the 100s here. Is there anyone you like from the Eagles secondary to draft?
Maybe Bradbury in leagues that require cornerbacks, because he's got a history of being a decent IDP option in the secondary. But other than that, no.
Jordan Davis is definitely a better real-life player than fantasy player. Would you draft him in a dynasty defensive tackle league where you have to have one? Because right now he's defensive lineman 99, and he's actually made – so like he came into camp in shape. Everybody knows he's a bigger guy. He gets gassed easily. He's probably a two-down player at best. But he came into camp in shape. He's taking it serious, and he looks really good so far. So is this a guy you'd grab and stash?
If it's late in a rookie draft and I've got a taxi squad spot, I can stash him on. I don't know that there's going to be a huge impact this year because he's going to be playing probably behind Hargrave and Cox for this year. But, you know, Fletcher Cox is getting up there. And right. Javon Hargrave, you know, I don't know how long he's still going to be around in Philadelphia. So there's a window for Jordan Davis. I just don't necessarily think it's in 2022. And that's fine if you can stash him. Like the fourth or fifth round of a rookie draft, again, it's like picking the 63rd linebacker. Who cares?
Like
if it doesn't pan out, no one cares.
Our football diehards league, that's like the league I think of when I ask these stash questions because it's, you know, there's 32 teams and there's a copy of every player. It's just, it's madness in there. So, yeah.
Oh, I throw darts at everyone there.
Sure. Why?
Except quarterbacks. I still don't.
Come on. That's like, I look at my team and it's the deepest of corner. I'm like, what a worthless, position to be the deepest at here. For Washington, the big question here, we didn't mention, it's just been a little while since the news came out. So I probably should mention it at the jump, but Chase Young is not going to be ready for week one. Probably going to start the year on the pup and miss the first four games here to start. He's going off a DL11. Obviously, he's going to drop from that spot. How far down the board does Chase Young need to drop?
I dropped him to like 24 or 25. Only because not only do we not know how much time he's potentially going to miss to end the year, which puts pup, it's a month, but we don't know how long is it going to take him once he is back out there to look anything like Chase Young. Dynasty, I didn't drop him as far because you just have to know going in that you're not going to get
that's
a quick
fine.
Return on it. I mean, I still think Chase
the potential is still unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't drop him as far there. But, yeah, he's at the very bottom of DL2 territory for me in redrafts. And honestly, he's pretty much a do not draft for me at this point.
Percy Butler or Fedarian Mathis, anybody worth a stash on this squad?
Right.
Did you just say him, huh?
Like you said, if you're in a 32 team league with 50 something roster spots, okay,
that's fine. There's no stashes in Washington. That's fine.
Not really.
Let's go to the North. Chicago, in a standard draft, is there anyone worth drafting that isn't Roquan Smith or Quinn? Are we drafting anyone on this Bears defense? I think Brisker, but that's about it for me.
I have Brisker on the back end because it sounds like he's going to be a starter from day one. Don't sleep on Nicholas Morrow either. He's wearing the green dot for the Bears. He's going to be out there all the time. And he was never great for the Raiders, but he's a decent a capable NFL linebacker. It was actually sneaky good in coverage, so – he's not going to put up Roquan Smith numbers, but I think he could probably get LB3, LB4 numbers out of him. And in a lot of leagues, people just, he's going late.
And the green dot, for the most part, just means you're going to stay on the field during passing downs, too. So, you know, that's a big part of it. Getting the communicator helmet is huge. Is Dominique Robinson worth a stash? Anybody worth a stash on the Bears?
I don't know if I'd call any of them. The only rookie I'm really interested in is Brisker. He's not a stash. He probably starts from the jump.
Let's go to Detroit. What are your realistic expectations for Aiden Hutchinson this year? Currently, DL23. That's a good line. Hutch or Young?
That's this year, probably Hutchinson. The thing about Aiden Hutchinson, and I probably have him ranked higher than I normally would a rookie edge rusher, because he's polished. He's pro. He's about as pro ready as you're going to see a defensive lineman be. His technique's pretty good. But I also don't know that Aiden Hutchinson's ever going to be a 15-18 sack guy. He strikes me as a guy who's going to get solid tackle numbers, going to be a force on the edge against the run, and a dozen sacks. Okay. And that's once he has a little experience under his belt. This year, like I said, with me, it's rookies, it's usually 7 or 8 sacks is a reasonable expectation. I think if you're drafting him as a low-end DL2, you're probably drafting at ceiling this year. But it would be a lot different in dynasties. He's my top dynasty defensive lineman.
Stashes, there are all kinds of stashes on this team. I feel like Okuda is great in CB leagues, although you're not stashing CBs. Kirby Joseph as a safety is good. Pascal out of Kentucky is good. I really like Malcolm Rodriguez, and I did read that this dude has already earned a couple of first team snaps in practices with some of the guys being down. But Rodriguez, I think, is my favorite. Kirby Joseph is very good, too. Who do you like in Detroit in terms of stats?
It'd be nice if Derek Barnes would do something.
Well, Derek Barnes looks like he's a number one, at least, right now. But, they have screwed around with him. So is he a linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? What is he? You know, because I feel like they keep moving him back and forth, don't they?
I don't want to say the most valuable IDP on that entire team is probably Alex Anzalone. I know. You want to talk about a jag?
It's Charles Harris.
Aging Alex Anzalone.
It's Charles Harris, right? Come on.
I like Harris. I think he's undervalued this year.
Me too.
A lot of people are sleeping on him after. And it's weird to me after what he did last year. He finally looked like a first-round pick last year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, anybody you like here in terms of stashes for deeper leagues?
I don't ever mind stashing a linebacker on my taxi, especially if the path ahead of him. I mean, there's no one ahead of him on that depth chart that you're like, wow, that guy's great.
Yeah, that's true.
That guy's Alex Anzalone.
Going over to the Green Bay Packers, Quay Walker, we talked about it before, just automatically already, going to be the linebacker next to Devondre Campbell. There's not really a competition for it. He got the most snaps on like their Friday night family night or whatever, where they run their scrimmage in Lambeau Field. Had the most snaps outside of Campbell. He actually might have even had more than Campbell in that game. What do you think about Quay Walker? Currently, he has moved up from linebacker 60 to linebacker 53. So a linebacker 5 right now, I think he's coming at a great deal, right?
You're right. He's fine in that spot. My concern with Walker, and I don't think you're going to be able to get him that, if you're in a league with experienced people, you're not going to be able to get him that, is that the Packers were right at the top of the NFL last year in snaps that they ran in the dime. Now, I know that they've said they want to run more nickel this year, but lots of teams say lots of things.
Yes.
So just because he's that starting nickel linebacker next to Campbell, I don't know that means you can pencil him in for 85-90% of the snaps. So you want to temper expectations a little bit with Walker. But, yeah, it's great to hear. And there's been really nothing but positive news about Walker since Packers drafted him. And obviously they invested quite a bit of draft capital.
Yeah, what do you think about stashes on this squad? Is Enagbare, I obviously like Devontae Wyatt, but I know Wyatt is the opposite of Quay Walker. He can't get ahead of, he is barely touching second string snaps right now. and Igbari is behind in terms of the edge rushers as well. Those are the guys ahead of him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time.
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
get your bag!
Two ways to peel for a chance to...
get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league. Oh.
Is there anyone you like to stash here? Is this just kind of a not really a stash?
Stashes. And even then, odds are you can find better value somewhere else.
Minnesota Vikings here. At their current ADP, I want to ask you this because I feel like I know the answer. But would you rather have Eric Kendricks, who is going off at LB7, or Jordan Hicks, who's going off at LB25?
Ugh. Can I pick you? I think that's
you can. Road.
I think they're both kind of overvalued in those spots.
You think so?
I mean, Eric Kendricks is a really good NFL linebacker, but there have been plenty of years where he did not post huge numbers, although he played really well because it just wasn't a great. Last year, the Minnesota defense was so flipping god awful that he was on the field a lot more. There were a lot more numbers he could rack up. There wasn't anyone else at linebacker with him who was really any real kind of competition for tackles. So I think Hicks is going to drain a little bit of that value from Kendricks this year, but I don't know that he's going to drain so much that I'd call Hicks a high-end linebacker 3. I think I've got Hicks probably 38 to 40 range, and I have Kendricks lower than – I think I still have Kendricks as an LB1, but it's like 12, 13, right around there, right around the LB1, LB2 cutoff.
I'm much higher on Hicks. I've got Hicks at LB28. I'm excited about him. I guess, you know, one worry would be like if this offense is real good in Minnesota, then they'll be having to run a bunch of time against four wide receiver sets in the fourth quarter and stuff. Maybe an LB comes off it then. So maybe I do need to rethink that a little bit. And this is just being excited from this O'Connell offense here. Going over to Atlanta and the Falcons. Oh, actually, you know what? I got to ask you, Brian Asamoah, probably one of the best stashes, right? The linebacker.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice one. I love him.
Yeah.
I don't know that Hicks was more than like a temporary ad for the Vikings. Right. And Eric Kendricks is what, 33, I think?
He's a little long in the tooth. Yeah. I don't know if he's that old, but he is older. So
I think he is 33. He's older than you expect. And you look at his age and you're like, damn, Eric Kendricks been around that long. And then you look at his sheet and they're like, oh yeah, I guess he have been in the league 12 years. Holy crap.
Eric Kendricks is 30 right now.
Oh, so. Well, 30, 33, 71, whatever.
You get
they're
to that
all
three
just numbers.
You get to that three and it's usually starting to go downhill.
Sure. So. He's only 30.
I mean, he's not playing baseball, so I'd assume he's all good there. The Atlanta Falcons, the linebacking core is gross.
Garbage.
Especially if Deion Jones is out or cut. Are you taking a flyer on somebody? Rashawn Evans is way down there at 64. Gosh. Michael Walker's at 86. Your boy Torrey Anderson is at 91, who could get a shot. You would expect him to get a shot at the end of the year, but to me, this looks so disgusting that I just want to avoid this as a whole.
Evans is probably the best bet. And but if we get a couple weeks into the preseason and it looks like they are going to run Deion Jones out there, then that will change things a little bit.
Okay.
Evans is probably the best bet to start, but he's a thumper. He's, you want to talk about a guy that's not good in coverage. Rashawn Evans is not good in coverage. Anderson, you know, you wonder how long it's going to take him to acclimate from to the NFL from Montana or wherever, Montana State, or I can't remember which FCS school he played at. Something in Montana.
Montana State. Yeah.
There you go. So out of the group, I kind of want to say Walker, but this is a late, you know, like last round, throw the blindfold on, take a drag off cigarette, throw a dart.
All I've seen from Walker is him getting torched by Pitts. To not like, you know, look, Pro Bowl level guys are going to get torched by Pitts, but it's just like, has he won a rep? I mean, everything I see from Atlanta camp is just Pitts. Pass
Anderson Walker. Is so all green and Evans couldn't cover a bed with a sheet.
It's ugly. It's gross. It's not going to be good this year. I tell you what I do like from Atlanta is I like Arnold Ibichetti. He's probably the best pass rusher on this team already. I think he's worth a flyer in a deeper league. He's going off a DL 73 right now. And he's already getting a lot of reps with the ones and beating some of these, you know, we know the Falcons line is bad. It's terrible. But he's been winning those reps as a rookie. I like Ibichetti for this year in a deeper league.
And the path to snaps certainly appears to be there. That defense is just going to be so
bad.
At least the offense, at least their high octane offense will be able to compensate.
Hey, look, man, this is the team that should be looking at number one overall picks. And if any of these QBs work out at all, how could it not be Will Anderson for them, especially with the track record of terrible pass rush they've had for like the last 4 or 5 years?
Right. They had fewer sacks as a team last year than TJ Watt did.
Ooh, that is ugly. D'Angelo Malone, do you like him as a stash too? Just looking for guys that can actually rush the passer on this team.
Yeah. I don't know that he'll ever turn in anything. But
don't sell it too hard, Gary.
Well, that's what taxi squads are made for, maybes, man.
Yes, they really are. And that's kind of the scenario we're talking about. Carolina, there's not a lot of questions with Carolina. I mean, there's a lot of bad, a lot of decent in there. My question is, are we done with Gross Matos, or does he still have a shot to break out? He's going off at 68 right now. I just don't feel very excited about him at all.
I think even if he does quote unquote break out, he's not going to be a guy that has much of a ceiling. He's a strong side edge setter. A poor man's, his ceiling is probably a poor man Sam Hubbard. So I mean, what's that? It's not really, doesn't really move the IDP needle.
With most people going, who is Sam Hubbard? Probably not great, right?
So. The one thing that makes me curious about, I don't know, in Carolina, I keep wanting to draft Corey Littleton again, and I don't know why. I need my head
examined. Stop it. How about that? I'll just,
hey, you know, he could wind up a three down guy that you got Shaq
opted. Squirt. You're like my cat, man. I gotta hit you with the squirt bottle here. Come on, you know, Corey Littleton. Yeah. I have it too. I have it for many players. I'm still gonna draft a Kyle Hamilton too high. I know it. I'm just I'm too into it. So,
he'll get out there eventually.
He will, but I mean, I'll probably end up cutting him by week four when he's not still out there.
Well, yeah, that's. No, don't do, because then in week five, he'll have 37 tackles.
Just know as soon as I cut him, I'll let you guys know when I do it. That's the time to go pick him up.
You'll have 30. Well, if you cut him in week four, week five, he'll have 37 tackles for your opponent that picked him up on waivers that week.
That's exactly right. There seems to be some decent stashes here. I mean, Barno from Vatek is raw, but super fast. Could be a great pass rushing option. Brandon Smith. Could end up getting some time at middle linebacker if, you know, I mean, Shaq Thompson looks great, but Damian Wilson is a guy there. You like Corey Littleton. It's just kind of ugly. So Smith could get the rookie out of Penn State could get a little time. I think those are both two decent ones. Do you like both those guys? Anybody else here?
I think the Panthers are pretty well set as far as their starters at linebacker. The question is going to be, who are going to be the three down guys. I mean, I'd assume Thompson's going to be one. And I think the other one's going to be Littleton. I feel like, because Damian Wilson, he's another guy. He's a thumper. He's not a guy that you want covering Kyle Pitts in space. It's not going to end well. So, but I think barring an injury, it's going to be hard to crack that this year. But that's just 1 year.
The New Orleans Saints, Gary, is this the year for the Pete Warner breakout? If it's not, is it going to be a different linebacker, or do you think the Saints are going to employ three safeties? Werner right now going off at LB 49, so the very first LB 5 coming off the board. Then with the safeties, you got Matthew and May are both flirting with like the end of DB 2s, and Sorensen is way, way down there. Although, you know, I'm just excited to see Sorensen get torched with Matthew on the field. So we get like a new uniform of Matthew doing surrender Cobra, watching Sorensen let up a touchdown, because it's so much fun to watch. But what do you think is going to happen here with these linebackers in New Orleans? Because Demario Davis is the guy, and after that, they really haven't had an established two for a while.
Well, I think you could – Werner, I'm kind of on the fence about. And I'd probably – my ranking of him probably isn't that far off. It's probably a little lower than that 80. So I would say you're probably drafting closer to the ceiling. I think you are going to see a lot of three safety looks if you consider Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to be a safety, because he'll be in the slot. And then you might even see some four safety stuff. I think they'd rather have Werner, because we all seen Daniel Sorensen in coverage, and it's not pretty. So I think the opportunity is going to be there for Werner. I'm torn on whether or not he'll be able to take advantage of it. I mean, I hope so. You know, I like Pete Werner.
Ohio State University.
But Demario Davis is still farther. That's my guy in that linebacker corps. Because Demario Davis is going to be exactly what you draft Demario Davis to be. No more, no less. You draft him to be an LB2, he's going to be an LB2.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's like if you take your risk at LB1, then you take your floor with Demario Davis. He's like a perfect pairing. You're absolutely right.
He ain't going to crack the top 15, and he ain't going to finish outside the top 25.
Right, exactly. What about DeMarco Jackson as a stash? And I'll just ask you, compared to, you know, a couple of the other stashes like Asamoah or Brandon Smith or Ebiketie, like if you're taking one stash guy, Malcolm Rodriguez, is DeMarco Jackson in that group, or would you say he's firmly behind those guys?
Rodriguez, that list would probably be the guy that I would look at.
Okay. Going over to Tampa Bay, all aboard the Joe Tryon Choinka hype train here. I cannot believe that he is down here at DL 74. I don't have him. I felt like I was low on him, and I've got him at 44 among defensive linemen. So I still have him as a DL 4. Is that too low? Are we all too low on Joe Tryon here?
I don't know. I'm actually doing a set of edge rusher rankings this week for Football Guys, and I haven't sat down and put my list together, where I'll be including 3-4 rush linebackers in with the 4-3 defense, like a true position.
Edge rushers. Ranked. Right.
Yes. I wanted to put that together for the true position people and the people who play at providers where they put them. I think 44, that's reasonable, and I think that's a nice value in that spot. I'd be willing to roll the dice on, because he showed something as a rookie. He's not a rookie. He's got a year of experience under his belt. You got Shaq Barrett coming off the other side. If you play in an IDP league where 3-4 outside linebackers get lumped in with 4-3 defensive ends, a lot of those guys like Tryon get overlooked by a lot of the managers in the league. They just don't. I got Leonard Floyd in that industry draft I did last week as like the 29th or 30th defensive lineman, and he's been top 10 in that scoring the last 2 years. So that's the – when you have a league like that where they add the 3-4 guys in with the 4-3 ends, it makes your edge pool so much deeper that it really changes my philosophy. Normally, I want one high-end pass rusher that I can trust. But if you add all the Tryons and the Leonard Floyds and guys like that to the player pool, then I'm banging linebackers hard. I'm just linebacker, 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 linebacker.
Yeah.
Because I can come back and get that value on the edge later. It really does. It changes IDP draft strategy a lot to have those – because all of a sudden, the shallowest position in IDP ain't so shallow.
Let me give you some this guy or that guy. Joe Tryon versus Ngakoue.
I'm going to go Ngakoue, but I think Tryon has a better chance of, like, wickedly out exceeding expectations. Ngakoue is going to be
higher ceiling.
Right. Ngakoue is going to be Ngakoue. The tackle numbers aren't going to be great. He's going to get 9 sacks, and that'll be that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
What about Tryon versus Kwity-Paye?
Tryon.
What about Tryon versus Greg Rousseau?
Ooh, I like Rousseau this year.
Tryon versus Brandon Graham.
Tryon. Because Graham's...
Tryon, really? Okay.
There's no ceiling there.
Yeah, he has looked good. I'll say that. I read that he's not missed a beat, Brandon Graham, at all in camp. So
he's not going to kill you. I mean, Brandon Graham's the high floor... He's going to go out there and do drop Brandon Graham season, like 40 tackles, 8 sacks, something like that.
Not a lot of worthy stashes with the Bucks. Logan Hall, maybe, in a DT, required league, because I do think he qualifies a DT, even though he's more of a, 3-4 end. Do you like Logan Hall's potential stash?
Maybe. If you have a defensive tackle required league where you can stash a 3-4 end as a tackle, then, yeah, it's worth stashing because you're going to get better numbers. You're certainly going to get better numbers out of a 3-4 end than you are out of, say, a 4-3-1 technique.
Right.
Like Jordan Davis. Imagine. It's going to be hard for Jordan Davis to post big numbers. That's just not his job.
Yeah. That's not what he's there.
His job is to take up room.
Yeah, you take up three guys so your linebackers can make the plays, what Casey Hampton did his whole career in Pittsburgh. And, in my opinion, should be a borderline Hall of Fame guy, but he has no numbers. He didn't get sacks. He didn't get tackles. But he ate up three guys on every play.
It's hard for those tackles. It really is.
Yeah. Going over to the Arizona Cardinals, is it really Collins versus Simmons? Simmons right now, 20. Collins in ECR, 32.
I mean,
linebackers. Or are you just not touching it?
I'm not at ADP. I don't want any part of either one of them. Because Simmons, I have no confidence whatsoever that the Arizona Cardinals have any flipping idea how to use him. And Collins looked awful last year. So those ADPs you just rattled off, someone else can just go right ahead and take him off the board.
And they haven't moved. It's funny because I talked about Joe Tryon being down at 74. I think since I submitted my most recent IDP update last week, he's actually come up to like DL50. These guys haven't moved in a couple weeks.
The draft capital that was used to draft Simmons and then Collins, and they just talk themselves into believe, Simmons was the 8th overall pick. He has to be good.